So, I don't really like to exercise. And it's not a thing that I should be proud of, or I am proud of, but it just is a true thing. And that has always been the case. I never have been a very sporty person. And as an adult, I just don't really exercise. But I do like to pray, and I do like to be quiet with Jesus as a thing that gives life to me, as a thing that I enjoy in rhythm. And so last year, sometime in the fall, I was at a retreat that I went to with a friend. And one of the times that they were inviting you to was a morning exercise, a morning kind of stretching time to start the day. And so my friend, very into that, was like, oh, we should do this for sure. And I was like, okay, that sounds nice. I'll come with you because that's a good idea. And I don't mind being up early, all those things. I love music. I do like to dance. So I was like, it's going to be okay. This is going to be all right. So I go with my friend and we're there. And so we're doing this like very mild, very like simple, straightforward kind of exercise class. But while we're doing it, the woman who was leading it was inviting us to be aware of God's presence with us. To like, as we're breathing, as we're listening to the music, to be aware. And I was like, what? You can pray and exercise at the same time? And it seemed quite obvious in the aftermath that that was a thing that you could do, but it just honestly had never occurred to me before that you could put these two things together, that you could spend this time. And so we did it the two mornings that we were at the retreat, and it was so lovely to have someone kind of leading through this thing that never would have occurred to me, to do it together with other people, to be like uncomfortable, but learning and to try something out and coming home from that space, both a time of this kind of morning, like attention to my body, waking up, as well as attention to my soul and giving my attention to God to start the day, putting these two things together all of a sudden was so rich and so lovely. And I never would have thought of it if it hadn't been for the experience with other people, for trying something out that maybe I wouldn't have normally chosen. And so as we start into spending some time today talking about prayer, as we start into a series looking at spiritual practices, it was coming to mind for me because there's so much room here. There's so much room here when we're talking about what it looks like to spend time with God, when we're talking about what it looks like to build in rhythms into our lives where we're giving our attention to the Spirit. More than we could ever cover, no matter how many weeks we talk about it, more than we could ever imagine, because the vastness of who God is can meet us in all the spaces of our lives. So there's so much room, things that we might not consider, for sure things that are not in our comfort zone, but hopefully new spaces where we can experience God in a new way. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we have just come through a series that we called The Way, talking about walking in the way of Jesus, remembering who we are as a church, and talking about who we believe God has invited us to be in this particular season, grounding ourselves in who we have been, in who we're continuing to become, and how we're walking with the Spirit in that. Jesus-centered, Spirit-led, peacemaking communities on mission together. And so we have these both aspirational and inspirational pieces of who we are as a church in this season in front of us that we're deepening into, that we're learning more and more all the time, that we're figuring out and hearing from each other about as we go. And this is the ongoing work of who we are, the ongoing work of our lives, the ongoing work of our church, to continue to live into the invitations that God has put before us. And so now, as we start into the next series that we're calling The Path, this is part of how we go. So we're walking in the way of Jesus. We are following the example of Jesus. And as we go, there are tools and things that we can do along the way to help equip us, to help give us what we need in order to give our attention to God. So we're going to look at a whole bunch of different spiritual disciplines and spiritual practices as we go. But it's important for us to realize that no matter what one we're talking about, it's not the spiritual discipline in itself that's the end goal. So we're not trying to become like experts at prayer or experts at Sabbath. Like those things are not the end goal. Rather, they're the tools that lead us into an experience of the presence of God. The end goal is more awareness of God's Spirit with us, is a closer relationship with Jesus with us. And so the practices are the way of getting there, right? They're the path to the way. But the way is Jesus. And so we just want to keep the things in line in our minds that is, we don't want to become so fixated on the practices themselves that we lose sight of the reason why we're doing them. And that can happen. It can happen because the practices are the things in front of us. And so we can start to give our attention to, oh, how do we like study really well? How do we sit in stillness really well? How do we fast and like be amazing at it? And just that can get us askew when we're talking about these practices. All of these disciplines, all of these ways to go, all of these tools that are in front of us as followers of Jesus, always, always, always must be drawing us closer to Him. And if they're not doing that, then they are not serving us well. As followers of Jesus, they are not building us up as the church. And so we want to come back to the why. We want to come back to the way. We want to make sure that is the focus of all of these pieces that we're doing together. It's also good for us to note that as we step into learning and practicing some of these spiritual disciplines, that we're in very good company, that we are following the example of Jesus himself in so many of these instances, practices that he exemplified for us during his earthly ministry, things that he practiced as he was also following after God. We're also in the company of so many Christian fathers and mothers through church history that have given us examples as spiritual mentors, that they have shown us the value of these practices in their life, written of their own experience, and we can look to them for ideas, for inspiration, for focus. And we go in the company of each other. And so like I was talking about in the story at the beginning, something that I would never think of to engage in, I learn from listening and watching the example of someone else. And so we see the unique ways that God has created each of us also opens up the possibility of what different spiritual practices or experiences can look like. And so it's good for us to pay attention to both what we bring and say, hey, this is a thing that feels really natural and like a really significant way that I connect with God and share that with other people, because you never know what that might mean to them in their own spiritual development. And also that we listen to what other people bring in those spaces too. So today we're going to focus in just a minute on prayer and peace as the spiritual discipline, as the spiritual practice that we're going to spend a bit of time on, look at some scripture on too. Prayer as our way of being in communion, of being in conversation with God in an ongoing way. And the peace that we're talking about in this instance is peace as in the settling of our spirit. The settling of our spirit, the gift that God gives to the whole of who we are as we rest in Him, this inner peace that comes as we spend time in prayer. So we're going to get back to that in just a minute. But just before we get there, I want to just set a little bit more of the context for us in all of these different spiritual practices that we'll be talking about, some things for us to keep in mind for today in prayer and peace, and then also as we continue to go forward. And so the first one is that spiritual practices should meet us in our whole humanity, in our whole humanity. And so there's a few things that I mean by that. We've talked before in different series and different times that we've spent about how in our Western culture, our more natural default is often to approach our spirituality, to approach our faith with our minds first. From an academic standpoint, and not for everybody and not always, but that's often our cultural starting point is academic, is mental, is approaching it in that kind of way. And so there's so much that's good about that. There's so much that we learn there, but spiritual disciplines, spiritual practices have this lovely way of kind of widening what our experience of God can be and moving it beyond maybe just a mental starting point or a mental understanding into something that we experience in our emotions, into something that we can experience in our bodies, in our posture, into something that we will feel in our hearts, into connection with our environment, our surroundings, with other people, all of these things. So it's a gift to us, I think, especially in Western culture, to move into some of these spiritual discipline spaces so that our experience of faith and our experience of God with us becomes more holistic, out of just our minds, into the whole of who we are. It also meets us in our humanity because it meets us as we are uniquely created. So we're talking about that too. These ways that we will find meaningful connection with God and with our spirit will be different for each person and different even in each season of life. And so it's meeting us where we really are right now. And it will be like give us a confidence in who God has made us to be as we spend time with God's presence in these different ways. So in the whole of our humanity, the whole of ourselves, and the truest version of ourselves, who God has made us to be as we spend time in his presence. The second thing then almost feels like a flip, but spiritual practices are also often going to stretch us beyond our places of comfort. And so speaking to this too, right? But it might be things that we're like, oh yeah, no, like that's not for me. That's not for me. I don't feel good about that. I don't feel drawn to that. I don't feel compelled by that. And that's okay. But I would just say from the very beginning, as we start into talking about some of these different examples and possibilities, that it's good for us to try to embrace a spirit of openness to trying things, because we don't really know the ways that God will want to potentially show us something new, or reveal more of his heart to us, or engage with us and teach us new things about ourselves until we're ready to be surrendered and say yes in those spaces. And so there's invitation there to experience something new of God, maybe in a way that we haven't before, maybe to experience a new part of ourselves in a way that we haven't before. And it's not with pressure. It's not with guilt. It's not like everything must work for everyone, that kind of conformity. It's not any of that. But I think we can come to this place with an expectation, saying, God, how would you like to meet me here? As I open myself up to this sort of space, even if I open it up with, yeah, I don't really like this at all. What would you like to show me there? What would you like to teach me there? How would you like to reveal more of who you are and who I am in that kind of space? And so it's just good for us to know and recognize and return to this truth that we can't predetermine or set boundaries around what an experience of God's spirit will be like as we enter into this space. So there's just an invitation to openness, an invitation even to be okay with some discomfort within the safety of God's presence, because we're moving towards Jesus, that there's a safety there, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's stretching, even when we're not totally sure that we come back to who God is, trusting that he knows us and that he has good gifts to pour out on his children through these practices. And then lastly, the thing to remember and keep coming back to, and I tell myself this regularly with different things, is that we use this language of spiritual practices or spiritual disciplines for a reason. Practice, discipline, because it's not something that just immediately comes supernaturally or immediately is always a super easy fit. We have to practice. We don't get better at something unless we practice, unless we put in the time, unless we do the work, unless we commit to it, unless we return to it, even when we're frustrated and we think it's going nowhere. And the same with the word discipline, right? Like there's a choice here. There's a discipline here of doing it in a consistent way, of doing it in a way that has an intentionality behind it, of trusting in the process of practicing and being disciplined about something as part part of the point of what we're doing as we're giving our attention to God. And so again, sometimes, especially if it feels uncomfortable, especially if it feels like it's not really like gelling with who we are, we can just be like, oh yeah, like that didn't work for me. That didn't work for me. That's probably a discipline that's for other people, not for me. And truly, sometimes that might be the case. But more often than not, when we're talking about spiritual disciplines, I would tend to argue that there's something for all of us in all of them. And what that looks like might be different, but that a lot of the spiritual disciplines that we're talking about are fundamental things that we're invited to as people of God. And they're things that have been part of the fabric of what the church is for generations beyond us. So for us to just say, oh yeah, I don't think that one's for me. I'm just going to put it over here. I would just say, oh, maybe let's wait. Maybe let's wait and leave the space for maybe we need to practice here. Maybe we need to be a little bit uncomfortable here. Maybe there's something new here as we pay attention to the invitations that God has before us. Very good. So let's turn to scripture together for a minute. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Philippians chapter 4 with me, we're going to turn our attention to the topic of prayer and peace. And we are going to start in Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 4. So like we said before, prayer as our way of being in communion and ongoing relationship with God, ongoing conversation with God, aware of his presence, and peace as the settling of our spirits, the gift of God to the whole of who we are as we rest in him, as we come into his presence. So let's take a look at these verses. Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, Philippians 4, starting at verse 4. And we're going to read through verse 9. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, and then the God of peace will be with you. So this is beautiful encouragement from Paul to the church as he's wrapping up this time. And if we look back at verse 6, we see this very straightforward instruction from Paul to the church. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Don't worry. Instead, pray. There's a kid's song that we do in Kid Max that goes exactly like that. I won't sing it for you. Don't worry. Instead, pray. It's catchy. It's short, it's catchy, it's simple. Tell God what we need, thank him for all he's done. But can it really be this straightforward? Can it really be this straightforward? Don't worry, instead pray. The truth is that even as followers of Jesus, we are much more acquainted with rhythms of anxiety and rhythms of worry in our life than we are with rhythms of prayer. It's certainly for me, and I think for many others, it's much easier to be in a cycle of thought, in a pattern of life, where we are thinking about what's going to happen or thinking about what has happened in a sense of worry, in a sense of trying to figure it out, in a sense of trying to see what's next, in a sense of trying to bring resolution, perhaps then we are of bringing it to God, telling him what we need, and doing it in prayer. We see in scripture the invitation that these things, prayer and peace, go hand in hand, that they're paired in this invitation. Hand in hand in scripture, the encouragement is here to pray about everything. And as we pray, our worries and our anxiety will diminish. As we pray about everything, then, verse 7, you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. As we pray, as we come into God's presence, as we continue in a practice and a rhythm of communion with God, of conversation with God, then we will experience the peace of God. And so it's important for us to hear it as an invitation to relationship. Because often I think what we receive, certainly what I received growing up in the church, was that if I found myself in a place of worry, I must be doing something wrong. The instruction is, don't worry. Don't worry about anything. So, what about when I'm feeling worried? I've already done it backwards somehow. Okay? But I think for us to see this as a cycle, not as a don't do this, only do this, but rather that these things are linked. And so as we find ourselves in places where we're worried, where we're anxious, where we have questions, where we have uncertainty, where we have burden of any kind, that we should move into the presence of God with those real things that we are experiencing. That we bring these things to conversation and communion with God through prayer, and it shifts and changes how we're experiencing those things in our lives, because now we're in the presence of God. We remember that we're not alone in any of those spaces. In prayer, in communion with the Spirit, we remember who God is. We remember who God is, and we remember who God says we are. And now the questions that we're holding, the worries that we're holding, the burdens that we're holding are right-sized. They don't disappear, but they're right-sized in the presence of God because we remember who He is. And we know that we're not holding these things in our own strength, in our own capacity, in our own need to figure them out. But that God is with us, that He loves us, and that our perspective can change. But this is a practice, and this is a thing that we do over and over again. As we come to places of difficulty and we move in that place into the presence of God, then the way that we hold it, the way that we experience it will shift and change. So we see how prayer and the peace of God are put together. And we're not doing something wrong when we need to come to that place again. We will need to be there on repeat because our need for God is great. There's a beautiful resource, this book that I brought along by Tyler Statton, where it's called Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. And Statton spends quite a lot of time talking about some of the reasons why in our culture we don't pray, the things that hold us back from that, the things that get in the way of that. It's a great book. Recommend it to anyone who wants to spend a little bit more time here. But then he also shifts his attention to talking about the reasons why we should pray. And this connects to what we're talking about, where we're leaving this off. It ends up being this very thorough, gorgeous invitation to come to the feet of Jesus exactly as we are, to come into God's presence exactly as we find ourselves. And so why should we pray? Statton says, first, that we should pray because we're overwhelmed. Because we're overwhelmed. The things that are in front of us in life in so many different directions are too much. They're too much for us. They're too much for us to handle. We are overwhelmed. We will be overwhelmed. And if we're not overwhelmed right now in this moment, that's great. But we will be again. We will be again at some point. It's too much. And so that moves us to prayer. That should drive us to prayer. That should move us into deeper dependence on God, a deeper need for God. And then as we're in that space, we receive God's peace because of who He is, because of who He says we are, because we are not alone in any of those spaces of feeling overwhelmed. We also pray because trust comes before faith. Trust comes before faith. It's a choice. It's a choice, a practice, an ongoing choice for us to believe that God is who he says he is, to believe in God's presence with us, to believe in God's goodness to us, to trust in his good purposes for our lives, to trust that there is more than enough for everything that we need and that everyone else needs, that there's no shortage, that there is abundance in God because he tells us that. We choose to believe in the victory of the cross and that it impacts the everyday realities of our lives that we see in the world around us. We choose to believe that God, in all of his infinite might and authority, sees us, sees me exactly where I am in the middle of my real life, that he loves me, that he cares for me, that he desires to be involved in the daily outworking of our lives, and that that's true for me, that is true for you, that is true for every person. We choose to trust and believe that God is real, that he is here, that he is good, that he loves us. And we choose it once, and then we choose it again. Trust comes before faith. And so we choose to say, yes, God, I believe that things are true. Increase my faith. Show me again. Remind me of who you are. And then as we have that space with God in prayer, in communion and relationship with him, we receive the gift of peace because we remember the things that we know are true. But it's a practice. It's a practice. And we have to be there again, choosing to say yes to it, choosing to believe it, choosing to trust over and over again, not as an assumption, but as an ongoing choice. We pray because complaints are welcome. Complaints are welcome in prayer. We come to this place, to Jesus' feet, to this place of communion with God as we really are. And sometimes we forget that this is okay. We forget that it's okay. We think that when we come to a place of prayer, we have to be calm and resolved and sure and confident and articulate and all of these things. We think we have to come put together, and we don't. We don't. We are invited to come to God exactly as we find ourselves, whatever that looks like, with the fullness of our emotions and our questions, our fears, our anger, our complaints, our honest outworking with God. If you think of the closest, most authentic relationships that you have in your life, I would bet that you have not just had polite, calm conversation with those people, right? I remember thinking this about one of my friends in university because we knew each other as acquaintances for a long time. And then after years and years of knowing each other, we had some conversation where I strongly disagreed with what she was saying, strongly disagreed. And then we ended up having that type of conversation. And I remember thinking and then talking with her about how, oh, now we're friends. Now we're friends because we've disagreed, which seems funny. But if you're understanding what I'm saying, when you get to a place of this real relationship with someone that you always agree with someone that you never have any conflict with, I would say that's probably only a certain surfacey level of relationship that you're actually having. It's when we move into these places where we can have disagreement but still choose to be together, where we experience a depth of relationship that is different. Like, oh, I'm not the same as you, but you still value me. And I value you, and this is where we enter into. And this is what God wants with us. This is what God wants with us. Real relationship. Not, I'm saying everything is good, God, and down here, it's really not. But here's where I'm going to talk to you. He already knows. He already knows all the things that we're not saying, all the things that we're feeling, all the things that we're not even saying to ourselves about how we really are. He already knows. And beloved ones, he loves every part of it in us. He wants every part of it in us. He wants us to come as we really are. He is unafraid of our real feelings, of our real questions, of our real doubts. of our real burdens that are too much for us. They are not too much for our God. They are not too much for our God who loves us. He wants us to come as we really are. We shortchange our relationship with God when we don't bring our full selves to prayer. And we will miss out on the deep, sure peace of God when we don't come with the fullness of our need for it. The fullness of our need for it will be met because of who God is. We pray because we can't do it wrong. We can't do it wrong. We can't do it wrong. How do you find ourselves? How do we find ourselves, beloved church? How is it with our souls? How is it with our bodies? How is it with our hearts? How is it with our thoughts? What would it look like? What would it look like for us to bring that fullness of who we are to God in prayer? To bring that to conversation with God, to bring that to communion with God. What would it look like? And maybe it looks like words. Maybe it looks like words. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe there are no words for the things that we are feeling, or maybe that's not the best way for us to enter into this type of communion with God in honesty. Maybe it looks like walking and moving with our bodies and entering into this space of communion with God in a way that words can't get there. Maybe it looks like movement of our bodies. Maybe it looks like dancing. Maybe it looks like art or drawing or some kind of expression that words cannot capture. Maybe it looks like singing in worship. Maybe it looks like screaming. Maybe it looks like unending tears, because there are not words for the things that we need to bring to the feet of Jesus. This is prayer, if we're coming into it with the intention of communion and conversation with God. This is the place where we bring the whole of ourselves, and we can't do it wrong. We can't do it wrong. If our hearts are to come into this place of bringing the whole of who we are to the feet of Jesus, it's prayer and it's good. There is so much space. Are we willing to try? Are we willing to try? Are we willing to listen to the invitation of God to bring our whole selves? Are we willing to step into a place of potential discomfort, to bring our worry, to bring our anxiety, to bring our questions, our burdens of any kind into a space of communion with God, trusting that He will lead us to a place of rest and peace because of who He is, not because of how we're coming, because of who He is and how He meets us there in the fullness of what we need. Because we can trust that that will happen because of who God is. We can also trust that we're going to need to do it again. And we're going to need to do it again. And we're going to need to do it again. Because it's a practice. It's a practice. Our need for God is big and it is ongoing. It's relational. It's continuous. This is the ever-deepening learning of what it means to walk in step with God in our lives. So as we wrap up, I want to just offer two different ways that you could step into practicing. And maybe they will be familiar to you, maybe they will be different, but one way to step in to looking at prayer, to spending time in prayer with God, can be to use the words of other people as a starting point. There are so many beautiful prayers written in Scripture and by all kinds of people in the history of the church. You can start with someone else's words. If words are hard, or just if you don't, start with someone else's words, and then you can make them your own. An amazing place to start is the prayer that Jesus used to teach his disciples to pray, the Lord's Prayer. One spot that it's found is Matthew 6:9-13. You can use the words of Jesus in prayer as your starting point, teaching us how to pray, teaching what it looks like to step into this space of attention to God with our whole selves, and you can make it your own. Here's a version of the Lord's Prayer that someone has written in their own words, in their own language, as a different way of taking it on. So maybe you're familiar with the scriptural language, the traditional language, and then here's a different version adapted. Dear God, our Father, there is power in your name. We trust your ways. From your kingdom in heaven all the way down to the earth where we live. Please provide all we need this day. Forgive our mistakes as we forgive those who make mistakes around us. Help us to make good, loving choices and protect us all from all that would destroy. Everything we have and do is for you, so that everyone we meet will see you in us forever and ever. Amen. You can start with something that's given. You can look at the example that is there and you can make it your own. You can make it your own as you enter into this space. So that's one example. Using the words of other, and the Lord's Prayer is rich and deep and full and beautiful, and you could spend forever there. So many books written just on that one prayer alone, because there's so much to it. The second example in a different direction is one-word prayers, one-word prayers. There's an author named Anne Lamott who she writes, she has a whole book too that's called Help, Thanks, Wow. Help, Thanks, Wow. And how each one of these singular words is a whole prayer in itself, a whole prayer in itself. Prayer's not about the words. It's not about the words. Sometimes, often, less words is better when we're talking about spiritual practices, when we're talking about giving our attention to God. It's often good for us to be quieter if we want to pay attention to what God is saying. And so these words are complete prayers, and it's a lovely practice to watch for where these prayers might show up in your day. If you start thinking in the language of these one-word prayers, help, thanks, wow, you might see them rise up in the middle of your day. I think about so many mornings when my kids were younger where I was just trying to get out the door with four kids, and I tell you what, there's nothing like it to bring out frustration and anger and difficulty when you're just trying to get everybody's shoes on and be somewhere on time. And when I can feel that frustration rising, to pray this prayer, Lord, help. I need help here. I need help here. And he knows. He knows. And in that moment, giving our attention to him shifts the moment, because we've entered into conversation and communion with God through prayer. And it can be one word as we shift our hearts to notice. Think about if you arrive home on a long, cold, rainy night. It's today, the rainy day. And you come home to a dry house with food and a warm bed, and maybe you have a furry friend who's there, who's meeting you, who's missed you, and all the rest. And you stop in that moment and you pray, thanks. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for this. We shift our attention and invite God into that moment in our day. And we're not just, you know, happy to be home. We are grateful for the abundance that God has poured. It shifts, it changes how we experience it when God's presence is invited in by our heart posture, by our prayer. Think about when you witness the first tulip opening. It's coming soon in this season, or a gorgeous sunset, the smell of a new baby's head, 1,000 other regular miracles in every day. And we pray, wow, God, look at what you have done. Look at who you are. Wow. It's a full prayer. It's a full prayer that shifts our hearts. And when we start to notice these little pockets of attention, intentionality of communion with God through our day, we will be changed. We will be changed because of his presence with us, because of the intention in letting him be present to our life, in letting him pour out his peace upon us, in letting him shape who we are by his Spirit. Our Lord and Savior is right here in our midst. And prayer is the practice of remembering that truth, that he is right here, always loving us, with us, for us. And peace is the result of standing in that truth, of living from that place of knowing. So listen to this invitation again from the scripture that we started with in Philippians chapter 4. Listen to this invitation again and hear it as a full welcome to who you are right now, exactly as you find yourself. Beloved church, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.